Hello, and welcome back to the Beer Truth Podcast. I'm still Tom, and this is Beer Basics episode. Because it's holiday season, and everything seems to be festive, I figured why not talk about seasonal beers and, you know, the winter warmer, winter ale, Christmas beers that everyone kind of seems to go for right now. So in the spirit of that, I'm actually drinking an Anchor, our special ale, colloquially called Anchor Christmas Ale. It's not the actual name of it, but it does have a tree on the front and looks all Christmassy, so that's what people call it. It's the original winter seasonal American craft beer. Although if you know that, you probably already know that they say they change the recipe slightly every year, and the tree on the label changes every year. It's a different tree, and it's pretty cool. You can look up an overall or overtime evolution of that tree in the artwork. So just one of those holiday festive kind of things. Figured I'd get in the mood. So yeah, winter seasonal beers. I would say the overwhelming majority of craft brewers make a winter seasonal beer, but that's often where the similarities end. It could be a winter seasonal double IPA or a gingerbread cookie stout or a barley wine, or these days it could be a sour green apple gluten-free cardboard cookie imperial pilsner, and people would buy the shit out of it. So winter seasonal beer is kind of a open-ended category. The possibilities are endless. So I'm talking winter ales, winter warmers, whatever you want to call them. It's not really a specific style in the way that like Belgian wit beer is a style. Although there is a BJCP category called winter seasonal beer. You can look this up in the 2015 guidelines. The guidelines for winter seasonal beer call for a stronger, darker, spiced beer. So there's some pretty particular characteristics to the style when it's going to be judged. But from that point on, it's pretty wide open. These beers are supposed to kind of invoke the cold holiday season, sitting by the fire, aromatic spices, ugly Christmas sweaters, cheek pinches, and of course, drunk uncles, because we all have one of those. The aromatics are usually reminiscent of ginger, nutmeg, cinnamon, evergreens, cloves, allspice, those warming spices that you think of with holiday cookies and mulled drinks and Christmas time baking. So the base beer itself is supposed to be pretty malty to help balance out and support those spices that get added. Basically, there are supposed to be spices added for this category, according to BJCP. And there can be other sources of fermentable sugar added, molasses, maple syrup. Again, it all kind of comes back to that holiday theme, or what people think of as that holiday theme. And these are not really hop-forward, hop-focused beers. Sierra Nevada might take issue with that, since Celebration Fresh Hop IPA comes out October and goes through December, followed by Bigfoot Barley Wine in January. So those are both beers that are going to have pretty decent hopping rates. But they're not really going for that winter warmer style beer. So what does a winter ale look like? It's usually gonna be darker, kind of darker amber to dark brown. I always think of something kind of like chestnut colored. I don't know, maybe that's just chestnuts over an open fire, back to the holiday theme, but I would never think of it as being anything but clear. And clear doesn't mean light enough that you can see through it, but I mean not hazy. And that is harder to tell the darker beer gets. But according to BJCP, some chill haze is acceptable, which was pretty surprising to me when I was reading that. So chill haze appears when the temperature of a beer gets around 35 or lower, and it's a hydrogen bond thing. I failed organic chemistry, so this is the Oxford Companion to beer coming through for me here. It's polyphenols and large proteins that are hydrogen bonded, and as the beer warms up, those hydrogen bonds get interrupted and the chill haze disappears. So becomes at least small enough to become invisible to the naked eye. Thank you, Oxford Companion to beer. The head is going to be generally kind of off-white to tan. Just again, kind of going with that color, like that mocha frappe latte you paid $6 for at Starbucks, and then you added a pump of sugar. So what's it taste like? Again, according to BJCP, quote, many interpretations are possible. Allow for brewer creativity as long as the resulting product is balanced and provides some spice presentation, end quote. So there's often some dried fruitiness going on here too, like dried orange peel or raisins, plum, fig. Again, things that are really reminiscent of holiday baking, holiday cooking. There shouldn't be much roasted malt flavor. It's not really something you think of, that roasty bite, but a little bit of chocolate flavor is apparently okay. It shouldn't be a thin beer, but that also doesn't mean it has to be a lactose-saturated liquid interpretation of a box of Krispy Kreme donuts for you to enjoy it. So keep that in mind. These beers are typically ales, although dark, strong lagers do exist. Doppelbock. I've seen a winter beer based on, or with a base beer of a Schwarz beer. So it doesn't have to be an ale, but that is pretty traditional. Of course, one big subset of holiday seasonal beers comes from Belgium, where you see them every year. Some breweries like Brewery St. Bernardus, which is from Watou, they make a Christmas version. I think it's the same base beer. It's kind of hard to find information that they're not exactly giving it out for free, but the Abbott 12, which is their strong dark ale, often called a quadruple in America. Although on St. Bernardus' website, it actually calls it a quadruple and that it's top fermented. So I don't know if that's just them giving into the marketing of it, but Belgian brewers are often thought to use a ton of spices in their beers, from wit beers to triples, but it's often just really expressive yeast. It doesn't, you know, just because there are spices there doesn't mean that they're adding a ton of spices. It's kind of a subtlety thing for Belgian brewers, and a lot of American versions will use a bunch of spices trying to recreate some of those profiles, some of that estuary stuff, but it's not necessarily done that way in Belgium. So just something to keep in mind. Let me try this Anchor. Yeah, gingerbread cookies. So yeah, you can look these beers up. The St. Bernardus site does not explicitly mention any spices or that they brew with any spices. There's a picture with some dried fruits. It looks like dried apricots, maybe cinnamon sticks, but it does not say anywhere that they brew with spices. So I don't know, part of the mystique of Belgian beer, I suppose. And now a brief note on historical interpretations of spiced winter beers. So there's, again, Oxford Companion to Beer has some information on this. There's ale posset. I'm not sure if that's pronounced properly, but it's a mixture of hot ale, bread, milk, sugar, ginger, and nutmeg. There's another drink called lamb's wool, which is a mix of hot ale and roasted apples. Then there is the egg flip, which I'm pretty sure there's a cocktail based on this. Hot mild ale, eggs, brandy, and nutmeg. What is a hot toddy? So the egg flip doesn't sound too different from a hot toddy, but there is egg in there. So I don't know. I'm not really into all the beer cocktails and adding weird stuff, and hot drinks in general are not my my thing, my cup of tea, if you want a shitty joke. From these traditional winter beer concoctions, especially British interpretations, that is supposedly where we get the term toast from, as in like raising a toast to someone. They would float a piece of spiced toast on the surface of a large bowl of this concoction. I think in some cases it would be re-fermented with the bread, and that's how we got the term toast. So, also in England, there's wassail, which I've seen described as both an ale-based drink as well as a cider-based drink. But I'm not going to go down that road. Plus, cider is just apple juice for adult children. So there you go, winter ales and a little bit about them. They're not my favorite style, but I do think it's important and interesting to understand and kind of dive into some of the history behind styles like this and you know, things you wouldn't normally be into. I grabbed a bottle of Anchor R Special Ale today and a bottle of Sierra Nevada Celebration, which is much more up my alley, being a hoppy beer, a little pininess to it, and it's only around every so often this time of year. So, yeah, if you have the ability, or you have an old one in your cellar or back of your fridge or something, you know, pop it out, give it a shot, try something new. What better do you have to do this time of year? It's quarantine in Christmas season, so drink some beer. That's what I'm doing. Or whiskey. Whiskey's later. But yeah, Sierra Nevada Celebration, which I suppose you could call a winter ale since it comes around every winter. This is why I'm here, people, to make the connections that are so obvious no one needs it to be made. Doing my part. And yeah, every now and then, grab one of those around Christmas time. Pop open an Anchor R Special Ale like today. So this holiday season, Christmas time, whenever you're listening to this, try a winter ale from your local brewery. There, you can probably find one pretty locally. And most importantly, don't be an asshole. You know, there's a lot of people that are having very difficult times right now, and it's not getting easier anytime soon. So, yeah, be nice, be safe. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa. Anything that you celebrate, you do you. And until the next round, cheers.